Good evening. Being that it's New Year's Eve, I know you all don't have much to do, so we'll stay here until New Year's come in. How that sound? No, just kidding with you. But you know, in God's creation, there is a first day, and there is a last day in God's creation. No man knows the last day. January 1st, 2017. December 31st, 2017. Last day of the year. There is a last day. Before the last day, there is a first day to your life. The first day, and then the last day. So I have for you this evening the last and great day. In John chapter 7, verses 37 through 29. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 29. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This feast that Jesus refers to is the Feast of Tabernacles, or the booths of inaugurating. And this took place in the month that they call Tishra, if I'm saying that correct. And that would be between September and October. So Jesus says, there is a last and great day. The Feast of Booths, we can read about that in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 through 35. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month, and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work." You shall not do, what he is saying is, you should not do any occupational type work. This is where the Jews got it all twisted at. So they want to add their own way of thinking concerning these things. So, the last great day. There is a last great day in everything in this physical universe. This last day here signifies that all the enjoyment of any success in the human life will end. Do we understand that there is a last day to our lives, and we do not know when that last day is going to take place? So, for every material thing in this physical universe is going to be an end. God has set it up to where the wicked will not escape. It may appear that Satan is winning, but the wicked will not escape. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 11. Isaiah says, by way of the Spirit, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time things not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose, calling a bird of prey from the east, a man of counsel from a far country. I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will do it. There will be an end to the creation of which we now live in. Because God created the end in the beginning. So there is no escaping for the wicked or for anyone who disbelieve in God's word. There is an end. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a great roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? We spoke about that this morning, being holy and godly. Verse 12, waiting for the hastening and the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. There is going to be a first day of eternity without end, you see. So now we're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth in which all righteousness dwells, nothing wicked. So while everybody's trying to make it to heaven, God gonna bring it back down to the earth. That's why he's gonna burn up everything. When you look at how things are purified with fire, fire will burn some stuff up, won't it? We just witnessed that this year with that horrific fire up north. And now the one that's going on down south. So God says he's going to burn everything up. What sort of people are we to be if these things are to happen? Are we to ignore this and continue to live our lives apart from God, knowing that there is a great and last day to the festivities that we experience from day one up until the last day of our life, from January the 1st till December the 1st, everything that we have experienced in this year, if we are not living our lives according to the scripture, enjoy life. How can we enjoy life? How can we enjoy life? Job chapter 14 and 1. Man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. We can look at our own lives and see all the trouble that we are going through. If you have children, we have experienced the trouble that our children has caused. If you have nephews and nieces that are old enough to get into trouble, we understand that man life is full of trouble. And not only is it full of trouble, but he is a few days. We're talking about a universe that has been in existence for I don't know how long. Man speculate 15, 16 billion years, or whatever the count is, trillion. The universe, the earth, is billions of years old, they say.
How do they know? They wasn't there when God laid the foundation of the earth like he asked Job.
So these tests that they run, that's where they get all their information from. But in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, but even before that in chapter 2, how that the preacher sought comfort and happiness by building things and acquiring things, thinking that this would cause him to have satisfaction. Planting trees and orchards and building water parks or buying slaves and musicians and concubines or whatever you want to call them. Seeking happiness in life. So in verse 24 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in all his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? You can't. There is no way that you're going to be able to eat apart from God. There's no way that you can have enjoyment apart from God. And if you think you're eating apart from God, and if you think you're enjoying it apart from God, it's all superficial. It's all fake. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Those who are not eating God's word are starving spiritually. If you're not eating and getting the nourishment from God's word, you're starving. If you're not finding the joy that God gives us in the fact of knowing that it's Jesus that dwells within us, there is nothing greater in this universe than to have the divine being and acquiring the divine nature within the human being. The angel said, you want me to bow down and worship him when he is created from clay and you created me from smokeless fire? I will destroy man and all of those who follow him. So that is where the war started. So how can we live and find enjoyment in this life apart from the Creator? We see in this life that God has given us free will to do as we please. Where he says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. God says that I would rather be with the few who are being true to me than with millions of people who are fake and pretenders. That's what we're dealing with. Know that you are not a pretender when you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching which was delivered to you according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. We must understand that today is the last day of this year. We must understand that January was the first day. So in between, we have all of these festivities in our lives. Have we thanked God for all that he has done for us this year? Have you said, thank you, Lord, for this year?
A lot of people are out there in the world today going to the gatherings. Thousands of people in New York waiting for the countdown. And it is freezing out there. Ain't no way in the world I'd be out there waiting for some day to come in. I'm be right in my house with the fireplace going or the heater burning on 68 or something. That's where I'm gonna be. But you know, if I was 19, 20, 22, 24, I'd be right out there with them. Shaking my leg, hey. That's right. I'd be right out there with them. I'm only telling you the truth. Get your house in order. We got to get our house in order. We have houses that we live in that we have to keep order in. And when you get out of line, we got to put you back in line. Children. Wives. That's what we have to do. You see? That's man-made house. Now you must get this house in order. The house that's not made with hands. We must get this house in order. It's a new year coming up. We have lost a lot of loved ones in this year. Some prepared and some unprepared. In 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1 through 6. 2 Kings chapter 20 verses 1 through 6. In the days of Hezekiah, in those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." Some strong words. You see, God, he does not do anything without warning you. He does not do anything without warning you. Hey, Adam, don't you touch that fruit. And the day that you do that, Hey, Noah, I want you to do this. I want you to build me this. Hey, Abraham, get away from all your people. I'm fixing to do a great thing with you. God always warns us. Blow the trumpet. We're blowing the trumpet right now. We're warning you for the upcoming year. Don't be the one that time expire on and you're unprepared. So he says to Hezekiah, "You will not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. You see, God does not, you know, he's not going to come and tell you, "Hey, get your house in order, because today you're going to die." It just happens, whether you prepared or not. In this instant, Hezekiah got an opportunity to get his house in order. You see, there's a first day and there's a last and great day to all of the things in the physical universe. So he wept bitterly. You see, God changes. God changes. He does not change in his nature. He changes in his mind. He will change his mind. He says in verse 4, after seeing this, and before Isaiah had gone out of the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him, right? Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David and of your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. You see, God hears and God sees everything that we are doing. He knows if you are praying to him. He knows if you are crying because of your situation with your sickness or whatever the case may be. God has the ability to heal you right now today. The power of God still exists. He can heal you just by saying one word. And this is what he did for Hezekiah. Because this is the leader of God's people. He says, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. That's what God does. He will change his mind for you. God has changed his mind on many occasions in the Old Testament, but his nature never changes. He is still the divine being. He is still the eternal spirit, right? And he is still reigning king of kings and lords of lords. So as we see how that God can intervene in man's affairs and in man's life, don't you think we should give him more of our time? Don't you think we should thank him more? He has left us a book of instructions on how to live. We need to start putting those things into practice now, not tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to us. We know what is your life but a vapor. So it is according to John chapter 7 verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. This is a great invitation to mankind to come. Because anytime you see the word thirst, it's leading to death. That's what it means. When you thirst, you're in the land of death. Starving, famished, death is what we are saying. You see? And he says in verse 38 again, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, not what my mama said, not what my daddy said, not what my grandma said, not what my papa said. It's what the scriptures have said. And the problem with the world today is need to get back to the scriptures. We have gotten away from the scriptures. And that is the only thing that's going to save us, is the scriptures. Because out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. If you have been baptized into Christ, and you are studying his word, and you are praying to him, and you are walking as you should, you're going to experience the rivers of living waters. Because when you look at a river, it is constantly flowing. And the river is a representation of the Spirit's constant flow. So we must flow with the Spirit. Doesn't appear that we have any visitors here tonight, but if you stand in need of prayer, we will pray for you. But I bid all of us to reflect back on this year and look at all the things that God has given us, even in the time of weakness and sickness. Let us always remember that God is with us. We have the most valuable element within us in this universe. And the moment that we grasp that, it will make us a better person. And then we will understand the knowledge of God. There is no one that stands in need of prayer at this point in time. We're going to be standing to sing the song that was selected in our hearing.
At last, and in my Savior, please.